The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Strategies for Financial Survival with Michael Figueroa. When financial adversity hits, and it very well may hit you, it's those that educate themselves and use their skills that will survive, no matter what field you're in. Now, here's your host, Michael Figueroa.
Welcome, everyone, to the show. This is Mike Figueroa, and today our guest speaker will be Attorney Ronald Lehman. And we will be speaking today about home mortgage foreclosure, modification, and restructure. As you are very aware, the country is involved in the serious problem of foreclosures that are occurring nationwide and in record numbers. And it would no doubt to me that a number of people who will be listening to this show will be involved in this situation. So what we're going to talk about is the process. And I'll start out with the process to a point, and then Mr. Lehman will step in and fill in the different parts. I'd first like to introduce Ron Lehman. Ronnie, will you give a little bit of your background and your firm and experience in this area?
Sure, Mike. First, let me say hello to the audience and let you know it's a pleasure to be talking to you and your audience today. We're talking about a subject that really strikes close to the hearts and the families of many people in our country right now. And if we can help give anybody out there a sense of hope, a sense that there are many things that can be done. I think that we should have a great show and get a lot of benefit out of this. Mike, as you know, we've been friends for many years, and I've been your legal counsel for many years. I'm an attorney who practices here in Tucson, Arizona. Our firm's name is Gabroy, Rollman, and Basse PC. We're a small firm, but we're experienced in what we do. Our website is www.gabroylaw.com. That's GABROYLAW.com. A lot of the things we'll be discussing today, if your viewers want to get some more details or have any questions, we've posted on our website a lot of hints and different types of ideas that distressed homeowners can look at. So basically, Mike, I've been involved in the area of real estate foreclosure for many years. And here in Arizona, our trade and business to a large extent is real estate. And we have many real estate developers, builders, contractors here. And I've tried to focus my practice on representing business people who are involved in real estate. The specific area that we're going to talk about today, foreclosures, it's interesting because today we're going to be talking about residential foreclosures. But historically, Mike, as you know, we have dealt in commercial foreclosures representing developers who have been foreclosed from the bank. I've spent many years representing developers, and as a result of the current economy, there's not many developers out there that are left standing.
And that's true.
there's not many fights that are worth fighting because of the depreciation in the property. So although I still spend a good deal of my practice representing commercial developers, I found that I get a lot of satisfaction now helping homeowners and residential owners of residential property as opposed to commercial property. And, you know, I've been practicing long enough, and I'm the type of person that to be able to help a family through a period of distress gives me personal satisfaction. And I enjoy this area of work.
So, Ronnie, let me start with the process and the scenario that goes on, and have you from there click into what you see and recommend be done. So, if we were to start the situation out, normally what would happen is that you would have a situation where somebody either lost their job or had a catastrophic illness or some other problem where now the homeowner can't make the mortgage payment on their home. And we're talking primarily about the first mortgage. If you have a line of credit second, these rules don't necessarily apply. But in regards to your first lien, they definitely would. So when you're facing the situation that you can't make the payment, of course, there's going to be a lot of fear dealing with what's happening. What will occur? Will I be kicked out of the house in 30 days, in a week? How long will it take? A lot of people hear a lot of stories about how long it can take to do that. What I want to point out is that there are options here that will occur. So the first thing, when you're approximately 15 to 20 days late, you're going to start getting calls from the lender's servicing agent. And that person will want to know what the status is and why you're not able to pay. And also concurrently with that will occur letters that will be sent to you by the mortgage lender. These are generally form letters. And the key thing here is, of course, the options that you're going to have that are outlined in the letters. And at this stage, I want Ron to be able to explain some of the options before we go into the area that if you don't respond, what the situation will be. So, Ronnie, here comes a person that talks to you and said, I got this letter from the bank that they are questioning whether I'm going to stay here or not. And what do I do? What are my options? So tell the listeners what your recommendation is and the flow of what occurs.
Thanks, Mike. First thing that all the listeners should understand is that there have been many federal programs passed that require most lenders in the United States to try to do several different things to avoid the homeowner losing his home. There is, and we're going to discuss a little later on, but there's really an alphabet soup worth of programs that many of your lenders probably have heard of and are a little confused about, ranging from HAMP, which is the Home Affordability Modification Program, to HAFA, which is the Home Affordability Foreclosure Alternatives, and many other types of programs. And we'll get into the specifics in a little bit. But the first thing that I want to caution the listeners is that it differs from state to state. The federal law that we're going to talk about is uniform throughout the entire United States. But the first thing that any defaulted homeowner in any particular state has to understand and appreciate is, in their particular state, do they live in what's called a deficiency situation, which means that the bank can come and not only take away your house, but garnish your wages, take away bank accounts subject to certain limitations. But if you're in a state where you have a deficiency liability, you need to look at it differently if you're in states like Arizona and California, where we have enacted anti-deficiency statutes. And if you are in an anti-deficiency situation, you can breathe much easier because your legislature has made as a matter of public policy within your state that although you may lose your home and the equity that you do have in your home, that's all you're going to lose. And you're not in a situation where you are going to not only just lose your home, but lose everything else because of the real estate recession, depression that we've been going through. So when your house is worth less than the bank is owed, that's when you're in an underwater real estate situation. So first thing is find out whether you're in a deficiency or a non-deficiency state. Now, the one thing I just want to preface here, Mike, is that the purpose of our conversation is not to give any specific legal advice to any specific situation. I'm licensed in Arizona and in California. I'm aware of the laws of those states. But even if you live in one of those states, don't take what Mike and I are saying as intended to give you legal advice. What we're trying to do here is give you a general understanding of how the process works, as Mike pointed out. All right. So now getting back to the question, Mike, people come in the office and they've got a letter. They know they're in default. They've been trying to make their payment and they just can't. What do you do? Okay. The first thing that I recommend that you do is make sure that the person you received the letter from is actually the legally authorized person to deal with your loan. And the reason I say that, Mike, as you know, over the years, the mortgage brokers and the people who have originated the loans very typically sell these loans to other investors, and they're often sold in packages, often chopped up in these packages are chopped up and sold to different types of investors. And Wall Street has gotten involved, and we have the situation where many of these loans are owned by what's called a securitized pool. And when you get a letter from a servicer, which is typically a bank or a subsidiary of a bank, such as Bank of America, Wells Fargo, this letter will probably say that, I'm a servicer or I'm not a servicer. But what we've found is that it's important to understand that very often these banks don't get it right. And sometimes the actual paperwork is not proper and you're not dealing with the right person. So what I always do when I'm representing my clients is first make sure through a chain of title report that the person who is purporting to represent the lender actually is the authorized representative of the lender, and the lender properly has been assigned your note and your mortgage or your deed of trust. So Ronnie, that's Ronnie, the first step.
Okay, hold for a minute here. We've got a commercial break we have to go to, and hold that thought, and we'll be back in a minute or so. Thank you, and we will talk to you in a minute.
B
be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back, everyone. We're speaking with attorney Ron Lehman regarding foreclosure house modification programs for your principal residence. And Ronnie was just finishing off a portion dealing with verification of who your lender really is. So, Ronnie, continue on.
All right. Thanks, Mike. So what now you know you're dealing with the lender, and as Mike mentioned earlier, you're going to be getting some letters, and these letters typically will have some language that says there are programs out there to help you. There are alternatives to help you get through these difficult times. Read those letters. That's very important for your listeners to do. Also, almost every lender, unless you're dealing with a small private lender, has a website. And I recommend that early in the process, you educate yourself as to what the alternatives are for your particular lender. But all of them are required by federal law to offer alternatives to the foreclosure process. So the first program that is available is, I mentioned it earlier, it's called HAMP, H-A-M-P, Home Alternative Modification Program. And what happens is our federal government has enacted rules and regulations requiring your lender to work with you to try to help you make it through these difficult times. And if you apply for a HAMP modification, the bank is required to stop any foreclosure that may already be in process and to withhold from beginning a foreclosure if they haven't started yet. So while you're being considered for HAMP, which can be a long process, in and of itself, just applying, even if you don't ultimately get it, is going to be beneficial to you because it's going to stop the foreclosure process. Now, without getting into too much detail, I will tell you that many of your audience, Mike, may be in a situation where they say, well, heck, I've applied for HAMP, and then I got a foreclosure notice. Isn't that illegal? And the answer is yes, it is illegal, but there's not much you can do about it because the courts typically have held that if the lender violates some of these federal programs, that the borrower, our audience, the homeowners, do not have what's called the private right of action to sue the lender because of that violation. It's a little point, but it can be very important. But if, in fact, you've got a situation where you're being considered for a HAMP modification and you get a foreclosure notice, you should see a lawyer. If you can't afford a lawyer, there are programs like it's not a public defender because that's a criminal thing, but they're legal aid societies that are very familiar with this area of law. And if you're poor, if you're unemployed, and you cannot afford a lawyer, then try the legal aid association in your local jurisdiction. The other thing that you may try is if you call up your local bar association, often has a lawyer referral service. We have that here in Tucson, where we have volunteer lawyers that will talk to people. Some programs, it won't cost you something. Other will cost you a nominal amount to talk to a lawyer and find out what your rights are. But basically, back to the HAMP program, the federal government has required your lender, if they're under this program, to work with you to lower your mortgage payment to a point that can meet your current income. So as an example, if your current mortgage is currently $2,000, but you got laid off or your income has gone down where you used to be making $4,000 or $5,000 a month, and $6,000 a month, and you could afford it, but now you're only making $3,000 a month, say. The HAMP program, this is very general, but what it will do, it will lower your payment to approximately 31% of your after-tax income. So as an example, if after-tax you're making $2,400 a month, they could lower your payment to $800 a month. Could be lower, could be a little higher. There are a lot of different contingencies and regulations, but they're going to ask you for your pay stubs. They're going to ask you for what assets you have, and you can work directly with the bank and understand that. A little hint for anybody who's listening that that wants to really get into some of the minutia of what the servicers and the lenders need to do is you want to check out a website called makinghomesaffordable.gov, www.makinghomesaffordable.gov. If you don't remember that, just Google Making Homes Affordable. Mike, this is the federal government's website which will describe for homeowners and for the listeners and anybody else out there that wants about the HAMP program and the many other programs that are available because of the federal legislation that would pass. It's very important, you know, I deal with this all the time, and what I'm saying is a lot easier said than done, but it's embarrassing, it's depressing, and it's devastating to a family, a breadwinner of a family, whether it's the mom, the dad, whether you're a single mom, or whatever, but This economy that we're going through is hitting everybody, and and it's horrible. And but my advice always is this is not a situation where somebody in your family is sick, or God forbid, it's not a situation like Connecticut and Sandy Hook is going through right now. And so I would encourage all of you, the people out there that are going through this situation, you know, don't feel guilty. This is not your fault. misery loves company, and you got a lot of company when it comes to distressed real estate. And so educate yourself. Don't start feeling sorry or being depressed or get up there and get on some of these websites. Go talk to somebody who knows what they're doing. And there are a lot of options for you, beginning with the HAMP program, which I just talked to you about.
Very good. So as these programs are available, does it take, would you say, an attorney to work through those? Is it your understanding that the bank's representative is available to work through on a lot of this? Because I know on some of my clients' cases, especially with, let's say, Wells Fargo, that there is a, they call them home preservationist representative, that when you get your package, that you are able to fill out and work through with the representative to make sure it's done. One thing I'd like to mention is that there is a lot of history of papers being lost. And could you talk a little bit about how to make sure that if there is an issue that comes up, how the person that comes to see you has to have whatever he sent and the documentation that's necessary so that they're kept copies of and transmitted to the bank in a certain way so that there's no situation where they can say, well, we didn't get the documents and we're going to proceed with the foreclosure.
Right. Two excellent questions, Mike. Let's start with the first one is do your listeners need to see an attorney? And the answer is no, absolutely not. These lenders are required by federal law to deal directly with the homeowners. It's a complex situation, and they are required to deal with you directly. But I'm just going to tell everybody out there is get ready for frustration, and you must be patient, because these lenders are so overwhelmed with many, many foreclosures that they often do, as you pointed out in your second question, lose stuff, ask the same question twice, not be responsive. You'll talk to four different people in four different conversations. But definitely, while you're talking to somebody, you need to make notes, write down what they're saying, and respond accordingly. As Mike pointed out, paperwork is often lost. And so when and if you send things to the bank, many times they don't allow email. And you want to ask the person, will you accept email? Is there any way that you'll let me email if that's a convenient way for you to submit documents? But if you're going to use the mail, you don't have to. You're not required. Many people like to use certified mail if it's important. I myself advise people that, you know, the mail is a very efficient institution, believe it or not. And mail does not get lost. It sometimes happens. Getting lost inside the bank is going to be a more likely event. So, but if you're, you know, unemployed, and, you know, they say, well, overnight it to us, and it costs 10 to 20 bucks to overnight. That's 10 to 20 bucks that you don't need to spend. Okay.
And I never see that it's that critical to be able to do that anyway.
That's
as long
right.
as they get the information. Ronnie, that's we got another break coming here, so let's hold that thought and come back after the break.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. day.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business. And we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit, protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm speaking with Attorney Ron Lehman regarding your options if you should be in default on your home loan and what can happen. And so we were at a point where we're finishing off issues dealing with the loan modification. Ronnie, were there any last minute thoughts on that before I ask you what happens if you're not qualified for a modification? But also I'd like to mention, what do you see are the common reasons why someone is not qualified for a modification that you see that the banks reject them under?
Right. Thanks, Mike. The HAMP modification is really the best bet for getting a modified loan with a lower payment. The reason that you may not qualify it is you're completely unemployed. You don't have any income. You don't qualify because your loan is too large. It's a jumbo loan and it exceeds the amount. There are a lot of different reasons. The amount that you're underwater is just too much. However, there's nothing to lose by pursuing HAMP. And if you get approved for HAMP, that option, then you're happy and you go on and you've got a lower payment. What to do if you don't get approved by HAMP is this: don't give up. They're required to give you written notice as to why you were not approved. The first thing you need to do is read that, because the banks get it wrong. They may say, well, you don't have enough information, you don't have enough income, and whatever it is that they said, you have the right to file what's called a motion for reconsideration or a request for reconsideration. And again, you should do that if you have any reason to believe that they didn't properly process your HAMP application. You file a motion for reconsideration. While you do that, the banks can't foreclose on you, so it extends the process out again. And very often, so I've seen this, but it's not unusual at all for somebody to be denied a HAMP modification, and then there's a change of circumstances. You get a job. Something else happens. The spouse gets a job. You take in a renter, whatever it is, your income for whatever reason, you now qualify for some disability insurance or Social Security or unemployment or whatever. But if there's a change of circumstances, definitely reapply for HAMP based upon your change of circumstances.
Now, Ronnie, I've heard people mention that they have process the documents with guy A at the bank, and if they get a different guy assigned, all of a sudden where they got a rejection, they may get an approval. Have you heard how and why those situations pop up?
Sure, Mike, because the first underwriter, the first bank person may have missed something, may have misread something, may have lost something. So it's really, we've got to take responsibility for ourselves and make sure that we understand the reasons given to us as to why we were rejected, and make absolutely sure that those reasons are in fact correct. Because like I said, the banks and the employees at the banks are only human beings, and sometimes they get it wrong. These people are extremely busy. So sure, Mike, that can happen. But, you know, a couple things I just want to add is there's a couple of special circumstances for people that if you're not qualified for HAMP, you need to ask your question. First of all, are you in the military? There's a whole separate section of the law that applies to military personnel. And so if you're in the military or your spouse is in the military, you want to ask your bank and submit an application for relief under the military program. The other one of a very common area is called HAUP, H-A-U-P, which is Home Affordability Unemployment Program. Many of the people who have trouble paying their mortgages, it's because they got laid off from work. If you're eligible for unemployment or if you're on unemployment, there's a special program out there where the banks will have to hold off on the foreclosure process while you're pending your application for this program. So if you're unemployed, if you're in the military, you got a special situation you need to take a look at. And Mike, would you like to go on now as to what happens if you don't qualify for HAMP?
Yes. But one thing, give a little bit of a timeline of what happens from when we started to where we're at right now in the process that you just described.
Okay. Very great question, Mike. And I'm not avoiding the question, and I'm just going to tell you straight up, it absolutely depends on who your bank is, how busy they are, and how they respond. All right. So once you put your HAMP application in, they're required to respond in a reasonable time period. One of the very interesting things is that many people out there are very anxious. They want the HAMP process to go through quickly. And quite frankly, it may not be in an individual's homeowner's best interest that the bank moves quickly. Now, what do I mean by that? Remember earlier we discussed that while you're under consideration for any of these federal programs, they cannot initiate nor can they complete a foreclosure process. So if I'm unemployed and I'm struggling to put food on the table for my family and I submit a HAMP application and the bank doesn't respond for 3 or 4 months, well, what does that do? That just relieved pressure from me and my family for 3 or 4 months. So if they are not foreclosing on you while they're considering HAMP, and if they lose your paperwork and you drop out of the system and you don't hear from them, then let sleeping dogs lie, because you're going to be living in your house rent-free, and that may give you the time you need to get back on your feet. And by the time they respond, maybe you have a job. Maybe something else good breaks for you. So specifically, Mike, there are timelines within the various different programs, but they're not always kept. And it's often that banks will blow those timelines. The advice is you've got to look at your situation, and every one of the individual homeowners and their advisor needs to understand whose side is inertia on. If nothing happens out there, listener, is that good for you or is that bad for you? If the sale is going to happen on December 30th and nothing happens, that's bad for you. But if they haven't begun the foreclosure process and the bank wants to take 3 years to consider your HAMP obligation or your HAMP application, then that's most likely going to be good for you. Got to understand inertia and who wins if nothing happens.
I know both of us have experienced people that we've worked with that have had these foreclosures drag on for as long as 5.5 years. And every so often what you say is very, very true. The issue dealing with who is taking charge and doing something, a lot of times files get lost. But again, we want to make sure that the borrower here always has their records and their files accounted for so that they know that if there's ever a challenge to the validity of their filing documents, that they have proof that they complied and acted in good faith. So,
absolutely, Mike, worth repeating. Your point is well taken.
What we're going to do, we're going to have another break coming up soon. What I'd like to do is go into, before we have about 2 minutes, if the modification process does not go through, let's say the borrower does not respond to the calls and the letters and they just ignore it, they don't know what to do, they hide from dealing with the issue, and now what happens is that you're at a point where maybe in a week or two the trustee sale may occur, and a lot of times you may get letters or people knock on the door trying to find out if you'd be willing to sell the house, and they tell you that the sale is going to occur in the next week or so, and now you're in a panic mode. What are your options? So,
okay. Well, the next major program that's most popular for most people, people have probably heard of HAFA, H-A-F-A, which stands for Home Affordability Foreclosure Alternative. And under this program, the lenders are also supposed to stop the foreclosure and not proceed until it gives our homeowners a chance to go through the HAFA program. And this is where the listeners have heard of a concept called a short sale. And basically what that means is that rather than going through a foreclosure and having a foreclosure on your record, the bank will actually pay you money to either give them a deed in lieu of foreclosure or to continue with a short sale, which means you sell it on the open market and the bank will accept less than is owed on your mortgage. And I think we might be coming up to a break, Mike, but
I think we
can continue with that. And then in the last segment, let's talk about what happens if you're facing a trustee sale or a foreclosure.
Very good. So we will take a break right now and we'll be back soon. Thank you.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
At Intuitive Strategies, LLC, we provide services to our clients that help them develop a strong education in business, and we also help them to develop a strategy that will allow them to turn their skills into a profit. protect their business and personal assets, and plan for a successful retirement. Our consulting and structuring services include business analysis, budget analysis, management analysis, ability to raise capital from investors, tax planning to minimize tax liability under code, as well as legal structure to protect business from frivolous lawsuits. Intuitive Strategies also provides document preparation services, such as business structuring documents, documents that establish an entity, management agreements, retirement plans, estate planning, wills, and trusts. Let Intuitive Strategies help you with your business. Visit intuitivestartup.com or call us in Tucson at 520-425-8759. Visit intuitivestartup.com today.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Strategies for Financial Survival with your host, Michael Figueroa. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to support@intuitivestartup.com. That's support@intuitivestartup.com. Now, back to Strategies for Financial Survival.
Welcome back, everyone. And in our last segment here with Attorney Ron Lehman, we're talking about what occurs if you do nothing or you are not allowed to qualify for your HAMP or HAFA program. But Ron, let me allow you to continue as where we left off.
Great. So what we're talking about is the foreclosure alternatives, and the most popular one is a short sale. Now, what are the advantages of a short sale to a buyer is that you go ahead and you sell your property, and if you're in a state that has a deficiency deficiency judgment, you want to make sure that when you enter into your short sale agreement, the bank agrees that if the mortgage is, say, $250,000, and the purchase, as a result of the purchase, they're going to get $180,000, you want to make sure that the bank gives you a release and says, that's fine. I will accept your cooperation. I will accept the proceeds of the short sale as payment in full, and I will not sue you for the deficiency. Again, going back, that's if you're in a deficiency situation. Your credit is going to be dinged, whether you're 30 days, 90 days late on a payment. Most likely you're going to get reported, but as a practical matter, there are to rehabilitate your credit later on in life is an area that we don't have time to get into right now. But a short sale is a little bit better than having a foreclosure against your record. But under HAFA, there's other alternatives other than the short sale. And one of these is called a deed in lieu of foreclosure. And the banks have been offered, the taxpayers, you and me, pay for this. But there's up to $3,000 available to a defaulted homeowner if they will give the lender a deed instead of forcing them to go through the foreclosure process. And this $3,000 can be used to go out and put, you know, first and last months down on wherever you're going to move. And so there, that's a definite tangible benefit to our listeners under the HAFA program. Now, once again, similar to the way that you did with the HAMP process, if you're rejected under HAFA, don't forget to check to see if you're entitled to file a request for consideration. Because again, they can't kick you out of the house while you're being considered under reconsideration. So again, that's another process that all of our listeners would want to go through. Maybe in your particular situation, you realize the house is too much under your current circumstances and you have to eventually move out. You're going to want to look at perhaps a deed in lieu of foreclosure and negotiate some time for yourself. On the other hand, if you want to stay in the house and you think you can eventually afford it, then it's just a matter of treading water and keeping yourself alive, asking for reconsideration and taking advantage of every legal right that you have that might keep you in the house and delay something. Eventually, though, if you don't qualify for HAMP, if you don't qualify for HAFA, if you don't take a voluntarily move out of the house on a deed in lieu, you're looking at a foreclosure process. This varies in all 50 states. Here in Arizona and many other of the western states, we use a process called a trustee's sale. I've done many of them myself. I've represented both the lenders and the borrowers in trustee sales. And here in Arizona, this is a process where the lender can take your house without filing the lawsuit. They record a notice with the county recorder and can have a sale in the trustee's office 91 days later, and there'll be a process that goes through that. Again, the listeners need to understand what the foreclosure process is.
Go ahead.
And what I was going to say is, for instance, here in Arizona, there is four ways in which you can stop a trustee sale. The first way is to reinstate the loan by paying everything that would be due under the loan if you didn't default. So if you have 8 months worth of back payments, you have to pay that. You have to pay some trustees' fees, and there's a process called reinstatement. Many states have that, almost, I think, probably all of them have. You can reinstate the loan. If your circumstances changed, if you got a job, if you ran into some money, if you have a wealthy friend or relative that's willing to help you out, that's a possibility. It doesn't happen very often because the reinstatement fees are a lot of money. And if your house is underwater and you're in an anti-deficiency situation, it doesn't pay. You know, if you owe $500,000 to the bank and your house is worth $200,000, you're better off taking that money and using it in another way, buying another house or renting, than you are, you know, throwing it down the toilet when your house is so far underwater. So, again, this is something that each of the individual listeners, homeowners, needs to consider their own particular situations. So the first way is to reinstate. The second way is to get the bank to voluntarily postpone the sale. That's a very popular and a very realistic way, particularly if you haven't gone through the HAMP process or the HAFA process and you haven't taken advantage of all your legal rights on any of those programs. If you qualify for military or unemployment or anything like that, by law, they have to stop and can't go through with the sale. Got to be very, very careful because mistakes happen, and I've represented people in which the bank said they weren't going to go through with the sale or the foreclosure and actually did it because one branch of the bank didn't communicate properly with the trustee, and there's miscommunications that go on all the time. So the second way, which is the most popular way, is the banks voluntarily postpone the sale. Okay. The third way under Arizona is you go into court and you get an injunction. Here again, each state will vary. In Arizona, you must go to a lawyer if you think you have grounds to stop that sale. For instance, they haven't properly posted your property or they haven't properly sent the notices out that they're required to do, or perhaps they have promised you that you were qualified for HAMP and you made your payments, but they didn't properly communicate that to the trustee. By all means, you need to get to a lawyer as soon as you can. You may have the right to go into court and get an injunction to stop the sale. In Arizona, if you don't do that before 5 p.m. the day before the sale, you will have waived all your rights to complain about what the bank did prior to that. Now, the fourth and final way, which is also a a very popular way is to file bankruptcy. And I don't personally give bankruptcy advice. Me and others in my office work closely with bankruptcy specialists, but if your sale is scheduled for 11 a.m. Tomorrow, and by 10:59 you file a petition under the bankruptcy code, there will be an automatic stay that goes into effect, which will stop that sale. You need to talk to a bankruptcy expert, and I certainly, if that's something that you think you might qualify for, don't wait for the last minute. As soon as you can, go to a bankruptcy lawyer and ask what your options are for bankruptcy. Inside the bankruptcy, there's some things that the bankruptcy lawyers can possibly do to help you reorganize the loan. But for the purposes of our discussion today, that is the fourth and final way here in Arizona that you can stop a trustee sale.
Thank you, Ron. We're closing in a minute, so let's wrap up and let everyone know how to get in touch with you. And if you have any last minute statements to make before we close in, I guess we have about 30 seconds.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. I guess just in closing, I would encourage all the listeners out there to keep your sunny side up as much as possible. It's easier said than done, but keep in mind that people who are going through distressed real estate and having problems are not going through what the people of Connecticut and here in Tucson, what we went through with the shootings. Find a good lawyer. If you're in Arizona and you want to call our firm, you can give us a call, 520-320-1300. You can ask for me. I'll be glad to speak with you personally. If you're in another state, go find somebody who knows what they're doing. Seek some legal counsel if you think you're going to lose your home. And that's about it, Mike.
Very good. Thank you, Ron, for attending our show and speaking to our listeners. It was very informative, and I know we've had a lot of things we've done together. So thank you again, and I sign off to our next show. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you again for tuning in to Strategies for Financial Survival. Please join host Michael Figueroa again next Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Until the next show, survive and succeed.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.